Can you gauge it, Eric, with instruments?
Well, yeah. What we've done in the research so far is, I mean, the earlier research, well, the first research, which was just ridiculous, was at the University of Miami at Jackson Memorial Hospital. Before they started to get involved in clinical research, they brought me down to the basement of their research lab and put a sheet of iron filings in front of me and told me to try to move them. I said, this is not about moving iron filings. It's about life. But they had a provost there at the school that was a little nervous. Thank goodness he's moved on. It looks like we're going to be doing some clinical research down there again. But we started with the first major research on how this is working with Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona. And he did work with random event generators, which is something that seems to put into disarray, or at least a random state, molecules. And this approach was to see how we could reorganize them, because let's face it, healing is reorganization. Healing is organization. So that was one of the measurements. They used something called an Eagley wheel, which was a finely honed, light, thin, like an aluminum plate, something like that, on a machine with lots of lights and numbers hooked up to a large computer system. And it would actually measure, that was one of the few things that measured the ability of this to work with distance between it, because we could move our hands further and further away. And when it would measure energy, from energy healing masters and grandmasters, they would find that the further they moved their hands away, the less the plate responded, the weaker it became. But with reconnective healing, the stronger it became. We could actually go across the room and out of the room and get broader movements with it. That was one of the things Gary noticed that was so distinctly different about reconnective healing than energy healing techniques, is that it becomes stronger with distance. It seems to turn the quantum laws of physics upside down and inside out.
Is it instantaneous also, Eric?
It is. It happened right away. Probably because of the light and the vibration and the information factor that goes on. There are a lot of things that Gary did at the University of Arizona, but more fascinatingly, or not more, but exciting to me because it's newer, I guess, right now, is that last year, William Tiller came down to an initial seminar. And you know, I'm on the road about 45 weeks a year around the world.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Giving seminars. And Bill Tiller came down to one and decided that he wanted to do measurements of what went on to see what was so different about reconnective healing. So his people set up measuring units in the room prior to our arrival and had them all set and calibered and perfectly in place, just the way he always does his research. And then something strange started to happen. It started moving, you know, like a Geiger counter or something. It started moving 5 full hours before we came down to the seminar area. He said it began changing almost as if it was in anticipation, as if on some level or dimension the room was beginning to condition itself. Then as we taught the seminar to new people, as we were teaching the seminar, every time we began teaching a new segment of it, it would blow off, it would blow the unit out. It would have to be recalibrated. It couldn't read the measurements. Bill said that there was no way anything could blow the system out this high unless it was like planned under controlled laboratory, you know, situations to attempt to do it. It was so unusual that before he informed us about the intensity of the readings, he went back to remeasure that space about 3 weeks later, because he thought that the only possible explanation would be that the room was set up over some kind of a power generator,
right,
and found out that it definitely was not that. What becomes truly fascinating to hear Bill explain it, I should have just told him we'd be on the show and let him, you know, call in. But to hear him explain it, he said, this level of energy would require so much heat to be brought in the room. It would be hardly something that we'd be able to sustain being in the space with. And yet, there was no measurable temperature change in the room.
You would think it would be way up. You're right.
That's what he said. It would have to be. Bill feels that we are accessing so many dimensions of healing beyond what the energy healing techniques that we've been learning have been able to access. The information, the data was so strong about this that at the end of August, we're doing a conference, the end of August, beginning of September, doing a conference in Los Angeles. And he is going to come down to replicate the study on a new group of people. Dr. Gary Schwartz is going to be there to do some research. Lynn McTaggart is coming and going to be involved in some of the research there. And we're also in communication with a couple other well-known names until I get their confirmation. I don't want to state it on
but
the
But you've
air.
Got some heavy hitters involved with
this. We have some heavy hitters. As a matter of fact, several of them have just volunteered, and I'm so honored for this, to form a Reconnective Healing Research Advisory Board because they want to find out what it is that allows us to heal at this level.